Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much again for tuning in with me. We are going to talk about some difficult situations. I'm so happy that you can be here with me. I love doing Encouragementology every single week. There's always so much to talk about, and this is no exception. You know, we've all encountered and will encounter trying situations at some point in our life. Even a person with the patience of Job has had to take a moment and pull themselves together. Think about a time, a place, or an activity, or a person that made it a difficult task for you. Dealing with the difficult is broad, and that's on purpose because that's going to allow us to look at it from several different angles. Do you have something in mind? Well, get it in mind. Now, are you ready to revisit the situation and prepare yourself for the next time? Maybe a different way to handle it. Good. So what does difficult look like to you? I mean, it's Monday. My show's on Monday, so I'm sure we've all had a difficult day. If you're like me, you start your Sunday preparing for your Monday. I try not to do that, but I can see how a little bit of the Monday blues creeps into Sunday night. And I need to get a hold on that. So maybe we can look at some different options together. You know, dealing with difficult in a positive way was really the inspiration for me wanting to become a life coach. So I've had lots of challenges in my life, probably not unlike many of you out there, but I have faced challenges. And I found early on that even though I might have a challenge, I don't get stuck for long. And it probably stems from the fact that I don't like to be in a bad mood. I don't like to be down. I don't like that feeling. Now, I have a pity party every now and then where I can just sort of get into my own head, get into my own thoughts, and just, you know, stew there for just a moment. But I typically turn to problem solving because it helps me preserve my sanity and it helps me not be in a bad mood. So I would like to say I'm most often optimistic. I tend to take a negative and reframe it into a positive. Sometimes this can be a little annoying. Do you know those people? Always smiling, always in a good mood. You ask them, are you a morning person? Because you always sound like that. Or when you just want to whine and sort of have a sounding board, they always want to turn it around and make it positive. Well, I knew that I had this capability, and it had to be for a reason. You know, I spent a large portion of my life trying to help people that didn't want to be helped. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, I thought I was being helpful, but maybe not so much. I was finding people that really didn't want my help. So it took me a while, you know, it took me some trials to figure that out. And then I thought, I don't want to let go of this gift because I really do feel like it's a gift. So I need to find a way to help people that want to be helped. So that's why I went and got certified as a life coach, because I really wanted to provide, reframe negative to positive for people that were really looking for that. I created Encouragementology because I feel like things need to be tangible in this day and age. People like to pick things up, put it in their pocket, you know, index it. They want it to be something real that they can see and feel. And I wanted this practice to be intentional. You know, the idea of creating positive strategies to help us overcome some of life's difficulties or life's challenges can be an intentional practice. So that's what we do week after week. I also have private practice, so I do have clients that I meet with in all types of different situations. Some might be going through some trials and some difficult times, and I help them find ways, just like we do, around it. And then some might already be on a really great trajectory, and they just want a little push, right? Some responsibility or accountability, and I do that as well. And then I also work with groups, and groups are so exciting. I talk a lot on this show about connections and human connections and what that means to us as a society. It is so vital. And so I do some women's groups, and I'm getting ready to start some senior groups, which I'm really thrilled about. So the power of groups is that you're not alone. You know, a lot of people deal with their difficulties on their own. You know, they look at social media and they see all these great things. Everybody has hearts and smiley faces and flowers, and they're really only talking about the best or what they want their life to look like. So a lot of people are not able to share the real side of their life. And groups allow people to get together with like difficulties and really share and learn from each other. You know, we're all in different walks on our journey. We're all at different levels. And we can learn from each other. Just hearing about how someone goes through a trial or a tribulation and how they were able to handle it, and being able to see someone stay positive through something so trying, is inspirational and encouraging. I have people ask me that all the time. Do you always let things go? Are you able to always pick yourself up? And I think that's an inspiration to them, that somebody can do that. It's a real thing. So maybe they have an opportunity to do that as well. So groups are powerful. Connections are powerful. And whether you're involved in a group or not, you definitely don't want to handle life's difficulties on your own. You need to find a way to reach out and connect with someone else, just like you're connecting with me tonight. So what kind of difficulties have you faced? If you're sitting back, long day at work, you might have had some immediate difficulties. You know, maybe it was getting up this morning. Maybe it was getting out the door. Maybe it was eating healthy. Maybe that was difficult today. Maybe it was dealing with your coworkers or some sort of interpersonal communication through departments. Maybe it was the kids, you know, managing the schedule. I mean, today it seems like the schedule is never complete. There's always something to do, something on there. We're trying to fit everything into one day or one week. Maybe it was just getting everyone fed and to bed. Maybe this is the first chance you've had to sit down and really relax. Welcome. Maybe there's bigger difficulties, like unmet expectations. Think about that. Are you harboring that feeling of not meeting something that you expected to meet? What about divorce? You know, even when divorce can be a relief, it can be something that you carry around, a feeling of failure. What about career disappointment? That can be really difficult and hard to move past. What about financial challenges? That can be a daily grind, trying to make ends meet. Family dynamics, kids, not just the day-to-day, but worry over kids and where they are in their life and how they're progressing and what they're doing. Maybe it's your in-laws, dealing with family members that might be getting involved in your life in an unhealthy manner, or your parents. Maybe it's difficult watching them age or taking care of them in unhealthy situations. Maybe it's your own health problems. Are you finding it difficult to stay healthy in this day and age? To find the time to exercise or eat properly or take care of yourself? There's no way we can know everything, but we can say without a shadow of a doubt, life is challenging. There's really no way to alter this. But we can look at how we embrace it. You know, you're hit with something challenging. How do you get on top of it? How do you get around it? Are you patient and methodical? Or do you have a high-speed come apart? You have more control than you think. Just because it's always the way you respond doesn't mean it has to be that way. Take your time because you really deserve the discovery here. Sometimes we allow things to fester because the work is just too difficult and we don't see the immediate benefit. I don't want to dig into all that stuff. I don't want to learn about that. I just want to move forward. Have you said that? Maybe you need to dig through there. You know, when we encounter a rough patch and we respond off the cuff, it's not always the greatest way to respond. It can make the situation worse. Maybe you need to dig in a little bit deeper and find out what's festering. Might be something simple that's just unresolved. You just didn't give it the attention that it needed or bring it to the surface and really work through it. Some things have to be walked through, no matter how hard they are. Getting a handle on your immediate reaction to things is so, so important. You know, we talk a lot about calming yourself down and lowering your cortisol levels and what that does to your overall health. I think I've mentioned it on every show, how it can actually reduce your improve your immune system. So I don't claim to help you with your allergies, but you never know. But by calming down and giving yourself time, you give yourself perspective, right? If you just react, no matter what it is, what's difficult, and you just throw up your hands, give up, or get mad, you don't really have a chance to see what you're truly dealing with. It's kind of like the little boy that cried wolf in a stressful situation. There's a model called the STOP model, okay? STOP. I know you know how to spell STOP, but it's an acronym. So the S actually stands for stop. Stop whatever you're doing. So you hit something challenging, just stop. Just stop for a moment. The T stands for take 3 deep breaths. Now, why do you think you do that? Why do you think you do that step? Well, you give yourself time. If you're taking 3 deep breaths, so deep, not just little shallow breaths, deep is going to slow you down. It's going to give you some time. It's going to slow down your heart rate. So 3 deep breaths. The O stands for observe how your body feels. Why do you think that's significant? When you observe how your body feels, you transport yourself back into the present. Just try it right now. Just be aware of your hands. Sort of wiggle your fingers. Roll your shoulders back. This is why in yoga, a lot of times they always want you to be present and feel your body because it helps get you in the now, in the present. A lot of times when you hit a stressful situation, you can snowball it out of control and you can be light years ahead in your reaction. So observing how your body feels brings you back to the present. And then the P stands for proceed with kindness and compassion. You know, your go-to may be fly off the handle. If you take those four steps, you'll find yourself able and in more control to respond with kindness and compassion. And that is to whoever, whomever you've encountered in a difficult situation, or to yourself, because you deserve kindness and compassion. Creating space in the day to stop, calm down, and just free yourself from a worried mind, get back into the present moment, has been shown to be enormously helpful in mitigating the negative effects of our stress responses. When we drop into the present, we're more likely to gain perspective and see what we have the power over and how we might be able to regulate our responses. So I gave you that model, but how do you deal with stressful situations? Do they derail your day? Do they affect everything else you have going on? I found a quote. It's actually out of a book called Girl, Wash Your Face. It's by Rachel Hollis, and it's really a fun read. I actually listened to it on Audible because Rachel herself is actually reading it, and it's pretty funny. It's and very important as well. It talks about some life challenges and how she... Well, it starts every chapter out with the lie, because it's what she believed before she challenged that belief. And then at the end of the chapter is what she actually learned. But I loved this perspective, because in a lot of different situations, especially when you're dealing with difficult situations, it's all your perspective. You know, it's the way you look at it. It's what lens you're looking through. So she says, what if life isn't happening to you? What if it's happening for you? What if every single baby step along the way is on purpose? What if every failure was really just a lesson you needed to learn? What if every rejection was actually God's protection? What if it's supposed to take exactly this long? What if it's going to be better than you ever imagined? What if you have to walk through this valley in order to be strong enough to scale the summit? What if you were given this mountain to show others that it can be moved? I don't believe everything happens for a reason, but I do believe it's possible to find meaning in everything that happens. That's a pretty neat perspective when you think about it. A lot of times we want to say, you know, everything just happens to me. Oh, another difficult situation. I'm just, you know, this is what happens to me. This is how my life goes. Par for the course, right? We just sort of settle into that resolve that this is just how it's going to be. But what if we reframe that and we talked about what we could do with those difficult situations? What we could learn? Some of the techniques you use to calm yourself down. Now, I gave you how to get back into the present. That's actually from Eckhart Tolle. If you've ever read some of his writings, they're pretty interesting. And he always talks about the now, the present, and how you get the most out of today. I think that's so important, because we spend a lot of time in the past, ruminating over failures, not able to let go, or we're brainstorming too far in the future about how great life is going to be if we could just get there. And we forget about our present situation. So Eckhart Tolle writes a lot about that. And the first, well, one of the things he talks about is noticing your body in order to bring yourself back at the present. I want you to try that, because it's pretty amazing. I have a smartwatch, and I have a breathing app. That's another thing that you could do in order to calm yourself down. There's apps for everything. You can have that on your phone, your watch. There's meditation apps. There's breathing apps. There's apps that tell you to get up and walk around, move a little bit. All great ways to just relax. There's also puzzle apps. You can look at different dots that shine different colors. You can move them around. You sort of get lost. Remember before apps, they had the sand on the desk. Remember they would have like a little sand tray and you have a little rake that you just move through the sand. It's so relaxing. Or you see those metal balls go back and forth hitting each other and you hear that metronome kind of sound. And you sort of get lost. Those are all ways to distract yourself from stress and relax. How about putting things in perspective? That's a great way to relax. You know, this is not Henny Penny. The sky is not falling. If you feel stress, relax. Put it in perspective. Is it something that you can control right now? Is it something you even have the power to control? Maybe unplug. That's another way to control your stress. Unplug. There's lots of negativity that we face in our own lives. Imagine plugging into it through your news feed, through your social media feed, through your cable. Why do that to yourself? Unplug. You know, I used to believe that I could control everything. You know, we've had different seasons in our life, right? Where we start out thinking we have no control because our parents or our teachers control everything that we do. And then we start asserting our authority and we think we have a little bit of control. And then we find out we're kind of in charge of our own lives. But it can spiral a little bit out of control. At least it did for me. I tried to control everything. I thought I was being helpful. But hindsight, I was probably a little pushy. I remember someone actually saying, I'm politely persistent, which I'm going to adopt that versus pushy. Politely persistent. But I also never knew how to say no. I love to challenge myself, and sometimes my expectations are way out there. And so I never said no. I took on everything as thinking I could do anything. As I got older, I realized I don't have that kind of control. I'm really not that powerful. I also realized people can take care of themselves. They don't need me. And guess what? I don't have all the right answers. Now, it took me a while to really figure that out, but I don't know everything. It is freeing. It's a freeing feeling not to feel responsible for the world around me and only feel responsible for myself. I finally have room to focus on my own wants, my own needs, my own desires. I'm not trying to lift the weight of the world. I'm just trying to make an impact and do something a little soul nourishing for myself. It has really helped me put difficult situations in perspective, realizing you really only can control yourself. So let's work on that. But we also encounter difficult people, right? I'm sure the minute I said that, somebody or some people came to mind. What is your go-to method for dealing with difficult people? Do you avoid confrontation at all cost? Do you clam up and get silent? Or do you bristle up and get defensive? Maybe you get upset and you just melt with emotions. Okay. Did you pick one of those? Now we know what you do. What would you like to do? What would you like to be able to do in those situations? You do have power over your reactions to people, places, or things. But first, you have to know why these things are difficult in the first place. What about the situation is difficult? Try combating that being defensive, which actually just equals not listening. You know, when you become defensive, you're not even listening. You just want to defend your position at all costs. I mean, isn't everyone entitled to a point of view? Does their point of view mean yours isn't valid? Why don't you try being defensiveness? Sounds like you're giving up, but this can be a powerful strategy when confronted by a difficult person. Being defensiveness doesn't mean you're passive. You still maintain your personal opinion, your perspective, but instead of engaging with the intention of making the other person wrong, you consciously choose not to be an adversary, not to engage. It means you give up the need to be the smartest person in the room. You ask your ego, your intellect, to sit this one out and proceed with an open acceptance of the other person's position. You don't have to agree with their perspective or even like it. The point is, this process is to compassionately suspend your need to defend a particular point of view. An interaction with a difficult person doesn't have to turn into a heated debate. Oftentimes, the other person simply just needs to be heard. Just allow them room to express themselves without any resistance. And they'll probably come to an end pretty quickly. Now, does that give you anxiety to think about that? Because you probably have a person in mind that you're thinking of, and they just rub you the wrong way. They're always so opinionated, and you just want to put them in their place. You want to tell them that, that's not right. That's not how you're supposed to feel or think or act. Imagine if you didn't say anything. Maybe you said, "That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way." Can you imagine saying that? Even if you didn't agree with them. Why do you have to be right? Maybe you're not. Something that I learned, I don't have all the answers. I'm not always right. Maybe you aren't either. Maybe you're creating that difficult situation because you won't let go and just allow room and space for other things to happen. What about a difficult task? Do you find it challenges you and makes you motivated to try harder to succeed? Or do you shy away when something becomes too difficult? Now, no judgment here. We're all trying to figure this out together. I found an interesting blog on this subject. Kind of an interesting perspective by Lori Deshine. I'm going to tell it to you. She says, "How many times have you tried something new and hard, felt overwhelmed, and then decided it wasn't for you?" I remember when I was really into step aerobics in my 20s. I liked to stand in the front row in class so I could see my form in the mirror. Since I'd been taking classes for months, I never felt insecure being front and center. In fact, I felt confident and proud of myself for hopping around up there with such precision. So much so that it blinded me to the potential consequences of stationing my newbie friend right beside me in the spotlight. Looking back, I can't believe it didn't occur to me that she likely wouldn't appreciate being quite so visible while learning something new. Sure enough, she struggled throughout the entire class, every misstep reflected back to the whole group in the mirror. She felt discouraged and embarrassed, and she never came back again. I've had many similar experiences like this myself, like the time I decided to learn to cook. One would think after my aerobics experience, I would have recognized the importance of starting small and safe, but no. I didn't try an easy recipe or one simple dish. I tried a 4-course gourmet meal, burned most of it, then decided to go back to sandwiches and frozen food because I just wasn't meant to cook. Then there was a time when I first tried painting. It would have made sense to find a class for beginners on YouTube or a YouTube tutorial for something basic, but instead, I overspent on art supplies, including a massive canvas, and quickly felt discouraged. I realized my piece looked like something I'd painted blindfold or even drunk. In both situations, I expected instant perfection and set myself up for failure. Not just in the moment, but also in the long term. I went from someone who could learn to cook and paint in time to someone who was afraid to try. Because I stunk at both, or so I thought. I now understand the importance of creating an early win and continuing to create small wins over time, which I've learned requires me to do the following. Adopt a growth mindset. Start small. Hold reasonable expectations. Avoid compromises. Give myself credit. If you want to feel more alive and have identified a way to stretch into new territory, this is the path to seeing it through. Did that make sense to some of you? Have you done the same thing? Oh, I can't draw. I can't even draw a stick person. You know, when's the last time you tried? When did you discount your abilities? Was it one attempt? What does it mean to adopt a growth mindset? This is a crucial first step because you have to believe in your capacity to grow and improve, or you likely won't allow yourself to keep going after your first imperfected attempt. Psychology professor Carol Dweck coined the term fixed mindset and growth mindset over 30 years ago after studying thousands of kids and recognizing two opposing belief systems that influenced their effort and their outcomes. People with a fixed mindset believe that success is based on innate ability, meaning you either have it or you don't. And if you fail, it's confirmation of the latter. It means you're not talented enough, smart enough, or good enough. So there's no point in trying any further because you'll just make yourself look bad. People with a growth mindset believe that failures are a part of learning. And if they keep trying, they can be better over time. Because they believe this, they keep showing up and eventually confirm their own belief. They may feel embarrassed when they start out, but they understand it's all part of the process. It turns out growth truly is possible for anyone. Research in brain plasticity has shown that through repeated practice at anything, we can build new pathways in our brain, enabling continued progress. So, you can't teach an old dog new tricks does not apply. You can always learn, always grow, and always stretch. Just by listening to the show, you're showing a willingness to learn, or at least a curiosity to learn more. I've said it before, it feels like part of life we learn through trials and tribulations, and other parts are through an awakening or a revelation. No matter where you are, there is more. So keep searching. Here's a few seeds that I want to plant that you can sort of water and grow in your own life. Number one, turn toward reality. So often we turn away from life rather than toward it. We are masters of avoidance. Isn't that true? But if we want to be present, to enjoy life, and to be more effective in it, we must orient ourselves toward facing reality. When we're guided by the reality principle, we develop a deeper capacity to deal with life more effectively. It's happening all around us. We can't stick our head in the sand. What once was difficult is now easier. What once frightened us now feels familiar. Life becomes more manageable. And there's something even deeper that we gain. Because we can see that we have grown stronger, we have a greater confidence that we can grow even stronger still. Number two, embrace your life as it is rather than how you wish it would be. Buddha taught that the secret of life is to want what we have and to not want what we don't have. Being present means being present in the life that you have right now. there's freedom in taking life as it comes to us. The good with the bad, the wonderful with the tragic, the love with the loss, and the life with the death. When we embrace it all, then we have a real chance to enjoy life, to value our experience. When we surrender to the reality of who we are, we give ourselves a chance to do what we can do. Number three, take your time. As the story of the tortoise and the hare tells us, slow and steady wins the race. By being in a hurry, we actually ruin our own success. We get ahead of ourselves. We make more mistakes. We cut corners, and then we pay for them later. We may learn the easy way, but not necessarily the best way. The old adage puts it like this: the slower you go, the sooner you get there. Slow, disciplined, incremental growth is the kind of approach that leads to lasting change. Number four, practice gratitude. It is easy to count your troubles rather than your blessings, but such an attitude undermines your ability to draw from the good that you have been given and to see it as a fundamental gift of your life. A change in perspective can make all the difference. Recognizing the good and receiving it with gratitude is a recipe for emotional health and well-being. This attitude enlarges the possibility that we can make use of good. We have been given a real way to cope with the difficulties in life by remembering gratitude. Number five, stay close to your feelings, even the painful ones. Often we find our feelings scary, heavy, or confusing, so we keep them at a distance. A lot of us are taught at a young age not to feel. Dry up your tears. Stop crying. But we need our feelings in order to find satisfaction, meaning, and pleasures in life. Getting rid of our feelings not only backfires, but it also drains us psychologically. Feelings are the gas in the engine of our personalities. They are the source of motivation. They are the energy, the vitality, the juice of life. Without them, our lives wouldn't have any personality or dimension or color. There wouldn't be any joy or creativity or fun. There wouldn't be you. Emotions make us human. Number six, accept success and failure as a part of your journey. We're all learning. No one gets it right every time. A more compassionate attitude towards ourselves only helps us stay in the game. The dynamic process of life, trying, succeeding, failing, trying again, is the only way to develop lasting confidence in ourselves. We learn through experience. We need that. We also learn to be humble and develop a view of ourselves as limited creatures, that we can't do everything right. No matter how mature or successful we become, the child within always will need mentors and friends who'll see us through. So we have talked a lot about the difficult. And this is a time that I love to just sort of recap everything so we can walk away with something that we can turn around and we can use. So I'm not sure what you picked up, sort of put in your pocket as a strategy for tomorrow, but I hope you did something. We talked about just basically, what are some of the challenges? I think sometimes we walk through life and we feel them, but we don't really look them straight in the eye and figure out, do I have to walk through this challenge or can I find another way around it, find an alternative? You know, do we just let things happen to us or are we taking control of them? So I think the first thing is to definitely figure out what you're dealing with and how you respond to it, because life is difficult. We already talked about that and established the fact of you're not going to make that go away. You know, life is difficult. So how are you going to deal with it? We talked about the stop model. Stop what you're doing. Take three breaths. Observe your body. And then proceed with kindness and compassion. You do have strategies to help you through this thing called life. And, you know, Rachel Hollis gave us a different perspective. Maybe it's not happening to us. Maybe it's happening for us. Really think about those two lines and reframe some of the things that you're going through right now. What can you learn from that? How could you take that and make it into a positive? We talked about some different techniques for relaxation, and I also gave you my perspective on, hey, we're not in control of everything. Let some things go. Worry about yourself. Worry about making the best life you can. We talked about ways to handle difficult people. How you respond to them. What is your way? What is your go-to method? Maybe you could do it a little differently with the knowledge that you have about yourself. The stronger that you can, the more you can invest in yourself, the stronger you become, the better ways that you can handle those situations. We talked about some different seeds that we could place. We can grow. We can think about a different mindset. You know, how we can actually leverage those things. Embrace reality. I think that's a big one. You know, we see a lot of things that aren't real. Really embrace the reality of life. You know, difficult is a part of life. Dealing with it is up to you. Never resolve to, this is it. It is what it is, and I'm powerless to change it. You have more power than you believe, and tapping into it will help you open doors that need to be open and shut ones that deserve to be shut. You're in charge. Take the time and get to know yourself. Get to know your reaction and your capabilities. When you feel challenged and stressed, uncover the reason for it. It's important for your well-being to navigate life with peace and joy, and you should take all measures to ensure that. You have a choice in how you internalize and participate.
With the difficulties in your life, I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, and how I wound up here.